August 23rd, 1979, and Tanana talking to Josephine Roberts.
Okay, maybe you could tell us when you were born and where.
Well, I was born down Galena. Galena, Alaska. Would you believe it? It sure is a different place from the time I was born there. I guess I was about the first one to be born there with, besides Andrew Holtzies and some other, you know, because they moved there from Old Loudon and they made a new town there. My grandfather, John Antosky, was the first one there at Galena with his wife. And they kind of ran a roadhouse like there, you know, for, you know, they used to go carry mail by dog team some days. And I never did ask my father why they decided to move to Galena. Maybe he know more about it. He know a lot of things. I don't know if you met him or not, Edgar Nauner.
Yes, we did meet him. Mm-hmm. Just briefly, we were in Galena visiting with Madeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was born there, 1922, February 1st. Both of my grandparents were living yet then. My grandfather's, and I was their first grandchild, and I guess I was something special, I guess.
What were your grandparents' names?
On my mother's side, Agnes Antosky and Johnny Antosky, and my father's side is Al Nauner and Cecilia Nauner.
So when you were born, what was that like? There was no hospital in Galena, huh?
No, I was born like the way they just delivered the babies, I guess, you know, no, just by midwives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't worry about hospital them days. Isn't that funny?
Do you know what place you were born in there in Galena?
Probably at my grandfather's house, Johnny Antosky's house. You know, I never talked to my mother about it, but I suppose that's where I was born. Mm-hmm. And it's gone now. It went over the bank. It caved a lot, you know, so it's not there no more. Now, as I was growing up, there was just few family there. We didn't have no store, post office, one-room schoolhouse. That's where I went to school. And I guess the BIA was in charge of it, I guess.
So when you said when you were born, you were the first grandchild. Mm-hmm. They treated you special.
That's what they tell me.
What kind of things do they do?
Well, I guess they used to pack me a lot on their back, you know, like how they use, like Eskimo style, you know. Just, they got me on their back all the time. They say, as a result, I guess I was spoiled. Want to be packed all the time. But then I have two grandmothers to do it.
What were your parents doing at the time when they were living in Galena?
Oh, my dad was a trapper. His father had a store there at Old Loudon, and then I guess they moved their store to Galena. And his dad ran it.
Maybe you could tell us something about your father's parents and where they came from.
Well, my grandfather, he's a German. I don't know where he came from. He must have came from Germany. He's got a German name. Big, tall, blue-eyed guy, you know. It's the only way I could remember him. He used to go to the store, and he used to give us a lot. Peanuts, that's what he used to give us. used to like peanuts. I still do. My grandmother was an Indian. They had a lot of kids. I can't tell you how many there was in the family, but there wasn't that many on my mother's side. She just, they died off as they was born, I guess. My mother is the one that survived. But then they adopted one boy, Lincoln Antosky, so she had one brother until he died in his 30s, I guess, of TB.
I guess it was hard for children then, wasn't it?
I guess so. I don't know why they lost so many children, because my mother said there was at least 12 of them, and she's the only one that survived. There were 16 in my family. There's quite a few of us still living. There's Dave Bernalner, Patty Nalner, Alfred, Cecilia Burgett, Jean Cooper, Angela Grasso.
So you said your grandmother on your father's side, his name was Cecilia, was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Who was her family? Where did she grow up?
Her family came from Kaikuk. Cecilia. No, I'm all mixed up. I really don't know too much about my grandparents. They died when I was just still a little girl, so I don't know her too much. But then I know she had an uncle, that's all I know. She had a brother, Cecilia did, because my mother used to call her an uncle. And she's like, that's the only living relative that I know that she had besides my grandfather, Johnny Antosky. And that's all I remember. And I didn't know both of my grandmothers, I didn't know them too, because they died while I was a little girl. I must have been about 3 or 4. I don't remember.
Would it be possible for us to just unbody her?
It's in the back there. It make a humming noise, huh? Yeah.
Your voice is soft.
Oh, yeah, that's what my girls always tell me. You know, they always say, what? And I always say, gee, you never could hear me. You know, I always have to repeat myself and just say, well, you speak too low, you know. And I always think I speak loud, but I guess I don't. I don't know. Yeah.
That's why I was listening to
you. Oh, but then that thing was, yeah, right. It make a lot of noise.
Yeah, you just, you know, you kind of listen to it and ignore it and forget about it, you know, but I know later when you listen to it.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. What else would you like to know?
Well, I was wondering if your parents ever told you very much about your grandparents.
No.
They didn't.
No. She's like, they never had any time to really sit down and talk with us, because parents them days have to just, like, they just have to work to make a living. Because this is a pattern in my childhood. She's like, in springtime, we have to go to spring camp to go hunt muskrat and ducks, beaver, fish, and then you just take care of it. You know, you have to cut your fish and you take care of your meat. You have to pluck all that ducks and dry it, and then some you have to salt, you know, in rock salt, and boy, muskrat, skinning muskrat, that's work, boy, that's all. But then after a while you get to be expert, even though you're young, you know. And when I think about it, There was nothing else for us to do anyway. I mean, for me, I was a teenager. I used to just help my folks a lot. From the time I was 11 years old, seems like I was taking care of my little brothers and sisters, you know, just helping my folks. They used to, like if we're in a village, they go out way back around Galena, you know, way back in the mountains, and they stay out at least 10 days. And my uncle would be staying with us, taking care of us, and we're going to school. And then it's up to me to see the kids get up, and then it's up to me to feed them. You know, this is the thing. And when they're back, well, they're tired, and I never know of a time when my parents ever talk with me, you know, like I do with my children now. If they feel like talking, we get to talk, you know. But if they don't feel like talking, but I wish they could talk with me more than, you know, because it's good for them and it's good for me, I think.
So, what other things you mentioned in spring, what you would do is go out muskrat hunting.
We get back to Galena. And then there we are, getting ready to go to fish camp. And that's what we do. We had two places where we go. We used to go to Olauden, and then we stay there from early June till August. And then we go to our other camp, right across from Campaign right now. That's where we get it's on the other side, and we get our fish on this side. That's why I know a little about this fish business, you know.
Yeah, you were saying that earlier. Maybe you could tell us again about the fish.
Oh, yeah. You know, this fish that runs on a north bank is richer than the one that you get on a south bank for some reason. It's kind of a separate thing. I don't know. I guess that's just the way the fish runs, I guess. But then if you ask people, they'll always tell you that.
But people don't really know why.
No.
So do people try to have their camps on the north bank?
Well, that's what my father did to catch all this king on this side, you know, the rich king. And then in the fall time, he goes back down on the south side, that's on the other side, you know, because it runs heavy there. That's a good fishing. He still have the camp there to this day. And then, well, fall time, this is another way they used to make their living, is cut wood, you know, for steamboats. And then we have to go to fall camp too. I don't know where we had our schooling, but that's what we did whenever we stay in town, I guess. And then after it frees up, they cut, I don't know how many cords, and then we go back to Galena.
So what would you be doing while you're studying?
I'd be trapping too. I'd be out, you know, have snares set for rabbits and hunt willow grouse, you know, when it goes up on a tree. Besides helping my mother, you know. And then we have fishnet under the ice. There's plenty to do. Short days, but you get it done. You do all your wood cutting. The kids have to do all that because Dad is out all the time. He's working, making a living. So we're out there getting all the house wood, water, ice, whatever, you know. And that's it.
So your fall camp, did you have a cabin out there? Or?
Wherever we went, my father always made a cabin.
So how many different cabins did you have?
See, there's, I know there's a couple below Olauden on that island that we used to go to all the time. I guess it's all cut out. And for the fall time, that's the only one I could remember. But then I don't know if he ever built cabin way back where they cut, trap or not. I don't think so, because they usually just take tent and just...
So what kind of fish would you be fishing for under the ice?
Whitefish. Mm-hmm. And then we used to string, we have to do this early in the fall, because you have to put in your line under the ice, as you would call it, because the ice is not too thick then. You just chop holes, and then you just get a long, I guess you would call it willow, it's as long as this, and then you cut your holes about that far apart, and you just stick your pole rod in there, and there's another guy standing over there, and they'd catch the end, and you just pull it out, and then that way you get your line under, maybe 60 feet, 50 feet.
So you would have several holes, you'd have a long pole?
Yeah, at least three holes anyway, right from the beginning, and then another one there, another one there. At least four holes anyway we used to make.
So you'd have a stick that's about 20 feet.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then you always have to have it kind of low so that it don't freeze to the ice, because if you wouldn't know where it's frozen. Yeah, it's really good though to see all that white fish coming out of the net, fresh fish. Yeah. Especially lush. Fall time, it's good. It's got good fish eggs. You ever had fish eggs? Liver?
Not lush?
Lush. It's rich. It's nice though. Baked, it's good. Yeah. In fact, that's the only kind of fish my sister likes, Angel. Grasso. Because, they bone it, and then they just they cook it like how you would French fries. Deep fry. And it's good. Mm-hmm. You should try it sometime. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just put your hooks about this far apart. You have to get your, what it really go for is blackfish that you can get in a lake. In fact, I had, I think it was three I got from Galena, and my sister, they sent it to me, and we had it in a jar here all from springtime till October. I started getting too cold, and we said, well, I can't get no water for it from the lake, so we just might as well put it in a lake up there. That's what we did, that lake. You ever been up the road? Mm-hmm. You see that lake on the right side hand, as you start hitting the hill way up there? That's where we put it. I don't know if it's still there or not. It must be. I don't know. But that's amazing. They call it blackfish. Some call it devilfish, but I never like that word. And you don't feed it nothing. You just change water and that's it. And it just live. Did you ever hear of a fish like that? You don't feed it.
What does it
mean? I don't know. You just change your water at least once a week. And they're about that big. And we used to just go out in the lake, and they just come out, to come up for air in the lake. You just scoop them up with frying pan, and you just dig a hole in the snow, and you just throw them in there, and it frees up like that overnight. But then if you want to save it, you just put it in a rabbit skin. You should just fill that up and just tie it and just bring it home, and then put it in a dish pan and just change the water in it. Keep it alive like that, and you just put the hooks right through the tail, and it just swim in the water like that. And never miss. Yeah. That's for lush. A pike go for it too.
So would you have rabbit skins like me? make bags out of them or something? Or
no, that's just the way it is. The rabbit skin, you know, it's just, you just put
right
it in there. Yeah, And you, that's how, so that it doesn't freeze, you know, while you're going home. And
do you have a question?
I'll continue that.
Yeah, we're still talking about the fishnet, right?
Yeah.
We used to make our own fishnets, too.
What's he making out?
You know, I always look for them in store, but I hardly see them in store anymore. It's, I don't know what you would call it, linen twine or whatever it is. I made one quite a while ago, and I was just going to get it ready to hang it, you know, and put floaters and sinkers on it. And then I found out somebody cut a big hole in it. Oh, I was so disgusted. And I never touched it after that.
When was that, the last one?
Oh, about 10 years ago, I guess. And it's still the way it is. I have to just mend that big hole, I guess, before I hang it again.
How long would it take to make one of those?
Well, if you're at it, maybe 3 days, 4 days, and then a day to put all that twine around it, you know, and then floaters and sinkers.
How big a net would it be?
Gee, I don't remember. We were taught this when we were kids, you know. Like, I think it's 21 stitches. I think, you know, what you would say, call it stitches. And then I think it's something like maybe 19 yards, I think, if I remember correctly. I have to do it again to kind of refresh myself on this, because if you just don't do something, you know, for years and years, and it just kind of fade away from you, like the same thing with crocheting, knitting, sewing, I guess. But then we had to learn all this when we were kids, anyway. But then we had our time. I always used to tell my grandchildren and my kids, when we were kids, we didn't have fancy toys to play with. We made our own thing. We used to play outdoors almost every day.
What kind of things would you
play? Well, I remember we used to save fruit cans, milk cans, because we don't have very much of it, you know. And like all my friends, they'd save, like if there's a fruit can, even the covers we save those for dishes. And we just play out. Oh, we had a lot of fun. We never lack for anything to do, seemed like, because we're always playing. Playing houses, making graveyards. That is a funny thing.
What did you do when you made graveyards?
Oh, I don't know, because there was a graveyard in Galena, and I guess that's the way we played too, I guess, you know. And we had big playground. Below Galena, there's a sandbar all the way down with a lot of driftwood, moss from the lake that floats, you know, down. It's black, and it's just like cork, you know. Boy, those used to be our couches, I guess. We used to call them bed. We didn't call them couches, because I don't think we even know what couches was them days. But it was really fun, really. People used to make fun of us a lot from other villages because they felt that they were bigger than us, you know. Their village was bigger than Galena, and they, you know, Galena was the bunt end of a joke, because it was so small. They used to call it fish camp all the time. And now it's a city. It's pretty big, and that's where everybody is now. Karkuk is. It's just like how Galena was. Very few family there. That's right. They're all at Galena now. But I'm not there no more. Bigger than Galena. They had store and they had post office. Yeah. So I guess they felt that they had something over us. Well, even the steamboats never used to stop there. They used to just slow down and they used to just throw the mail up the bank and that's it. Yeah, that's my old hometown.
Well, what else can you remember about Galena when you were little? What it looked like?
Well, I could tell you that the family there, were close-knit, you know, just like one big family. There must have been only about maybe 12 or 13 or 14 family. I never did counted them. But that's only how many family there was there. And when somebody catch moose, everybody shared, you know. Nobody went without meat. Because I guess it's just so small. Men used to get together in the evening and they used to just tell stories about how they got this moose, you know. Or and we'd be there listening if we're not playing. Like if it gets too dark to play or too cold. The little boys, we used to play post office. We used to write to each other, you know, the girls would, because we can't be going out, you know, running all over the place. See, we write notes to each other, and there was always some postmaster running around from house to house delivering letters. And we used to play paper dolls a lot. We used to make our own. We never bought it either. And I don't know how we know there's paper dolls, but we used to make them out of kind of hard cardboard. Summertime, we used to pull out those long grass, you know, pull them out, see who's got the longest root, you know, that's the hair. We must have had a lot of fun, though, because we pretend we'd be cutting fish. It's those leaves, you know, we'd find these big leaves, you know, we just cut them and just hang them up. We just make fish rack. That's how we used to play. We used to have a lot of fun. I don't see kids do that nowadays. They have all kinds of toys, but they're not satisfied. It's just a thing of the past. I don't know if Galena is the only place that ever did that or not. I don't know. You should ask somebody else. Yeah, we sure did. We used to. Yeah, we made our own thing to do. Because I guess we just didn't know any different. Mm-hmm. I was lucky. Yeah, there was quite a few room full of school kids, so.
Do you remember some of the families?
Yes, there's George Jimmy and his family. I don't know how many there was in their family. And his brother, they used to call him Little Jimmy. And then, Ambrose Abraham, and then there was his mother, and then there was Enyas Paul and his family, and then the Nolners, that's us, and then my uncle Walter Nolner, his family, Sam Stanish and his family, and old Hoochies and his family, and my grandfather, and then there's Bessie Holchies and her husband. She was married to my uncle the first time, but he drowned, so she was married. And who else? Oh, kind of odd names, huh? I look Dayton. Mm-hmm. And yes, Paul is kind of odd name too. I look Dayton. I don't know how you would. I don't even know how to write. I look. I don't know, but that's his name.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about how people got their names?
No. Maybe Father Jetty used to be around there, you know.
He used to. Do
you remember him? No. I think he died when I was just. Maybe while I was still a baby, I don't know. I don't know what year he died. But he used to be up here too, because I saw a book here that he used to write in, you know, people's name, their native name. You see, he used to talk our language, Athabascan. That's another thing they did in school. We always talk our language, you know, at home. And then soon we find out that we cannot talk our language because they say you're not going to be able to learn anything in school if you talk your own language, you know.
Who would say that?
The teacher. And, you know, I forgot all about that until I heard it, you know, and then I thought, that is right. Until Charlie Evans started teaching, and then he never said anything like that, because he's an Indian himself, I guess, you know. And he taught school there 2-3 winters, I guess.
Where was he teaching?
At Galena. Mm-hmm.
Well, what did that make you feel like when they said you couldn't speak your language?
Well, I believed them. But then I'm glad that I learned my own language, because now I never taught my kids how to talk my own language, you know. And now that they're grown up, they always say, why? You should have taught us the Athabascan language. Because, you know, when my own people come and we're sitting around and we're talking, and they wish they had learned the language, so they'd be there talking with us too. They're all there, and here we are talking, and they don't understand us. And I think that's bad. And I always promise myself I'll teach my grandchildren how to talk, but I never start yet. Yeah.
Well, why did you decide not to teach your children?
I just never thought about it, I guess. I don't know. Because it seems like it's too hard to learn or something. But then if I start from the time they were just babies, would have been just easy, I guess. I think that's the way the Eskimo do it. They just talk their language to their kids. Because even the younger generation talk their language. I always hear them.
Were all the other families the same way?
You mean?
Well, let's see. Now, the people that you grew up with, are they teaching their children the language?
Doesn't seem that way.
But everybody went to school.
Mm-hmm.
When they told you that you wouldn't be able to do very long school because you spoke Athabascan, were there other reasons that it wouldn't be good to speak Athabascan?
You mean, would you say that again?
Well, when they told you not to speak native language.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought at the time, you know, I thought, well, when they said you're not going to learn anything in school if you just talk your language. Well, I believed it. But I guess I still did with the old people because I used to hang around them all the time, like Mrs. Bogie or Mrs. Abraham, because they used to tell good stories. Like, I guess you wouldn't say it's fairy tale, but it's, how would you say that?
The old stories.
Yeah, it's really old stories, you know. That's been carried on from way back, but it's gone from me now. I don't remember. Just part of it I remember, but not all of it. But then around Kaikuk River, they do a lot of it. That's what Catherine Adler told me. Because that old man, what's his name now? Chief Henry used to tell a lot of it. And she said they used to just go there and he used to just tell him stories. They used to tape him all the time. And she knows almost all of them now, I think. I sure like to listen to them because I bet some of them will be the one that I heard from Mrs. Bogie and them.
So who is Mrs. Bogie?
She was an old, they used to call her a medicine woman. Yeah. And I used to be around her a lot. We used to, all that driftwood, you know, besides playing, I guess we'd get tired of playing. We'd be way down playing, and then when we're coming back, we always say, well, we're going to carry some driftwood for those old ladies. There's two of them, Mrs. Abraham and Mrs. Bogie. And we used to just load their yard with driftwood. Isn't that something? That was another thing for us to do. And if you see an old picture of Mrs. Bogie's house, you'll see all that wood. It's a certain length is stacked right here, and certain length is right here. And the stump wood is piled up right there with gunny sack or canvas or old canvas or whatever, oil cloth or something over it, so it'll stay dry, you know. We used to do that a lot for her, especially her, because she used to make these fried bread, and she used to always give us fried bread. And that's just like giving us candy, I guess. And she's smart. She gets most wood.
Well, why do people call her medicine?
Well, because I guess she was a medicine woman. And there was Leo Captain. I forgot to mention his name. They never had kids of their own, but they adopted probably five that I remember. There's Henry Captain, George Captain, Billy Captain, Bertha Captain, and Jenny Captain. And he was a medicine man. I used to watch him make medicine.
Do you remember any of that, what he used to do?
I was about 6 years old, I guess, when I first saw him make medicine. And he had this cloth over his head singing, you know, some kind of a, or I don't know if he was singing, it's some kind of a, oh, I don't know what it is. I wouldn't even copy him. And he dreamt something, he said, that somebody was going to get killed. So he decided he's going to have what you call this get-together, you know, where you always read about it in a book. They do that outside, too. You hear that, you know.
Oh, and bring everybody together.
Yeah, and they just
communicate with spirits.
Yeah, And he was doing this, and I was sitting on a sewing machine. I don't know if I was six, maybe I was even younger, because I really don't remember at this time, but it just comes to, you know, I know I was in there. I was watching him, but then everything went away again. And after later, they told me that I cried because he didn't put his hand on me, you know. He put his hand on everybody to try to find out who's having this problem or whatever it is, you know. But I don't remember crying because he didn't put his hand on me. So I must have been younger than 6 years old. But I remember him out there with this cough. He was singing, you know. But that's all I remember, and it just kind of fade away again.
And what kinds of things did Mrs. Bilby do that you remember?
She dreamed. She claimed that she used to dream, you know, and something is going to happen. That's all I remember. I don't know if there's... Like if something is going to happen to some family, you know, you're going to lose somebody. Or she kind of foresee it, I guess, you know. Most of the time, I guess it's right. You know, I guess that's just their way of finding out, I guess. Like, even a long time ago, my mother-in-law told me that even before a white man came, Indians used to say that there would be steel, like, you know, flying out in the... They didn't even know what metal was, but they say that it's something that's shiny, that's going to be... You see a lot of in the sky, and that was airplanes. They predicted that. They know there was God, too. Now, even before a white man came, they knew all that. There, you know, it's passed on down, until it starts happening. And then another thing she said, near the end of the world, she said that a lot of people is going to be start dying off, you know, just like pulling out weeds, you know. And then the last time she was here, she said, it's happening. She just died this summer. Yeah. She was 80-something. Nettie Earhart died this summer, too. She's another old lady. So we're losing our old people and young people. She's losing a lot of people, you know. Almost empty.